In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, May 11th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. People who keep asking why Bernie Sanders will not quit the presidential primary race on the Democrat side have an answer. Because he keeps winning. Sanders soundly beat Hillary Clinton in West Virginia's primary, where Clinton's alleged anti-coal comments may have cost her some delegates. No one opposed Donald Trump as he won Nebraska's Republican primary, picking up 36 more delegates on the road to getting the 1,237 delegates needed to secure the nomination. According to CNN, pundits will be scouring the final numbers for the special insight into what's next, asking, did Clinton's coal comments hurt her? Is Sanders picking up more momentum? Will Republicans cast a protest vote? And can Trump mend fences with women?
Well, our voters are out there supporting the candidates that they like. We've got, on top of the presidential race, we've got a lot of really important local and state races going on. And so people are out there helping their candidates, supporting their candidates.
Ted Cruz, who some thought might win Nebraska, even though he suspended his campaign, said in an interview Tuesday with radio host and supporter Glenn Beck that he was open to kickstarting his campaign if he somehow starts winning primary contests again. Amazingly enough, with all the constant outcry against the recent wave of ungodly moves by the government, nearly 30% of all Christians, that's 72 million of them, will not even vote in this election cycle. If only a fraction of them did, they could change the course of the nation easily. Sadly, 2 out of every 5 self-professed Christians took that right for granted and did not vote last year. 1 in 5 eligible Christians are not even registered to vote. Christianity Today reported that 80 Muslims, now living in a refugee camp in Hamburg, Germany, were a part of a mass baptism as they converted to Christianity. The new converts, who are from Iran and Afghanistan, said Islam had never brought them peace and had filled their lives with constant fear. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the most admired of them all? Bill Gates and Angelina Jolie. That's right. A new YouGov.com poll of people from 30 countries says computer mogul Bill Gates and actress Angelina Jolie are the most admired man and woman alive today. Pope Francis, Queen Elizabeth II, and evangelist Billy Graham made the top 20, along with President and Mrs. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Oprah Winfrey. Actor and martial arts expert Jackie Chan, singer Taylor Swift, lesbian talk show host Ellen DeGeneres, and mathematician Stephen Hawking were also among the top 20. On Monday, ESPN sports hosts Ray Lewis and Chris Carter were fired, and many are saying it is because of their Christian faith. ESPN, which conspicuously left Ray Lewis out of their latest NFL draft show, said they had other reasons and even pointed to a controversy Lewis was part of last year. Recently, Lewis and Carter, both African American and outspoken Christian retired pro football players, spoke out about what they felt was wrongdoing by members of Black Lives Matter, the absurdity of men using women's restrooms and locker rooms, and the lack of good discipline of young black children. They made their comments on air, even using scriptures. Some say it was more than ESPN was willing to allow. ESPN denied the connection. In Mark 13:13, Jesus said, "They hated me, and you will be hated for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end will be saved." And that's The World View on this Wednesday, May 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Why do you listen to The World View in 5 minutes? What makes it unique? We're rounding up your email testimonials. Include your full name, city, and state, and send it to adam@theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
You have to admit, The World View in 5 minutes is unique. Nobody else pairs the latest news stories with timeless scripture verses. The result? The Bible comes alive in the context of everyday news. To research, write, voice, and produce the worldview costs money. If you value what we're doing, vote with your wallet. We need 250 listeners to pledge just $20 a month by May 31st. Go to theworldview.com, click on Give in the top right corner, and check the recurring donation box. It's just 64 cents a day. We've spent thousands to get this going, and now we need you to help keep it going. Let's proclaim to the world that God is at work in everyday news.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, and it's not always easy. People think sometimes we're the experts, but I'm writing a book on family right now for the first time, and I tell you what, folks, I made a commitment that I'd only write a book on family after I'd fallen on my face for about 100 times, and then I'd write the book on family. And so that's really the way it is. Nobody does this thing perfectly, and certainly family life and fatherhood and motherhood is a real test of faith. That's where the rubber hits the road. You can get real super hypothetical, and you can get utopian about the Christian life, but when you got to live together with people, when you got to live in relationship with people, that's the true test of faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today with Todd Wilson, who's part of the Family Man Ministries. He's been doing this for a long time. He's one of the most sought after speakers on family and fatherhood across the country, especially for homeschool conferences. And I especially appreciate his non-assuming approach to teaching dads and moms the basics about how to love your family and how to spend time with your family. And now he joins me on the Generations Broadcast. Todd, it's good to have you with us today.
Hey, it is a pleasure being with you.
Yeah, and you're going to do a little group therapy today on the program, if that's okay with you.
I'm okay with that. I'm part of the group.
Yeah, exactly. And you need therapy.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. And, you know, I think people have the impression, Todd, that, you know, as we take on these conferences, I've spoken to a number of conferences across the country. I know you do, too. People have the impression that we're experts. After all, we are over 25 miles away from the house and we've got a briefcase. So, you know.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think everybody thinks that. And they don't just think it about us. They think it about everybody who's not them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You always look at. You know, maybe it's your pastor, or you look at your neighbor, your coworker, and you think, surely they don't have it like us.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I think Facebook, things like that, have furthered that. Uh-huh. You know, we look at that, and we think, wow, look at all the fun they're having. Mm-hmm. Look how much that husband loves that wife, or that wife loves that husband. Look how much those kids, they just obey all the time. How could they be so awesome?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not the truth. In fact,
no.
It's a lie.
Yeah,
And in fact, some of that stuff is just poison to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, you know, these good things, family is good, but it's hard. And mm-hmm. I've noticed that hard things are good and good things are hard.
Yeah.
You know, and people tell me all the time, well, you know, I must be doing something wrong because it's so hard. And I'm like, no, you're doing something good. That's why it's hard.
And I think the key.
You know, and I think that's family.
I think
anybody who says otherwise. You know, there are people who portray that it's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up a book the other day, and they were saying, you know, the author said, you know, I have a perfect marriage. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they're lying, or they're delusional, or, you know, or they're not talking to their wife anymore, you know, or something like that,
yeah.
Or they're not engaged.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, I'd love, people ask me all the time, Todd, you're really not that bad of a dad, are you? Because I write an email to lots of people, and I try to be pretty real, and I'm like, I would love to say I was a great dad and I could rub it in all your faces, but being a dad and a husband is really hard, but it is worth all the hardness.
I think it keeps you humble, and that's a big part of the Christian life. Man, if you get proud, you're going to fall, and family keeps you humble, and that's really, really good. And I like to tell folks there's no recipes. You don't convey recipe, do you? When you speak, you don't convey recipe.
No.
You don't say, here's a good formula.
We've gotten into danger because, you know, the Bible doesn't fill in all the blanks.
Yeah.
You know, but there's always a flimflam man out on the horizon who will fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And we are drawn to them mm-hmm. because they have answers.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like something God would say, but he mm-hmm. didn't necessarily say it.
Mm-mm.
But it sounds like it.
Yeah.
We follow it, yeah. and we find ourselves, you know, in a world of hurt afterwards.
I like to share.
Again, you know, I've had so many moms and dads come up to me with tears in their eyes and say, you know, we did everything they told us to.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a television. You know, we made our girls wear dresses. You know, we did this. We baked this. We did this.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not turn out the way we thought it did
yeah.
would.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, did you really think, and I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. This is an actual, did you really think if you didn't get your ears pierced, God would be more pleased with you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what have we done?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel responsible. I feel like as a Christian leader, you know, we have sold some things to some people that is not true. As though there was a silver bullet that you could take or a pill you could swallow and you can have, you know, a marriage that is without difficulty or a family that was out without difficulty. I'm here to tell you those things come with hardness
mm-hmm.
because the relationships are hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why we're so drawn to these virtual relationships. That's why we spend our time on Facebook and Pinterest and all those other things, because virtual relationships are easy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're just not as good.
Yeah. And virtual pornography is a lot easier than marriage and relationship. You know, there's one recipe that I like to share with people, and that goes this way. Number one, here's step one. Okay, everybody get out your pen and paper. Here we go. Step one, get down on your knees. Fall down on your face. Step two, cry out, help me, God. Help me now. Okay, cry it out a little louder. A little louder. Okay, that's a good recipe. There's
good
a recipe.
And learn how to say, will you forgive me?
There you go. Yep.
Because I'll tell you, you know, I had to do that just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the family man.
Yeah.
You know, I tell dads how to be good dads.
Yeah.
And I hear my own advice, and I know the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, yesterday I get a little text that says, can you come up here and deal with this, son? And so I'm starting to, you know, as I go from the basement to the upstairs, I'm gaining steam as I go through the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know anything, but I don't need to know anything because I'm the dad. You know, I just jump in there with the machine gun going and tears are flowing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loud. I'm ugly.
Yeah.
And then I hear the story and I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and so I ask forgiveness. We talk. And then I hold my son, who's a grown-up son.
Mm-hmm.
And I hold him in my arms for a long time. And I say, I am so sorry. You know, and the incredible thing about that is our kids say, that's okay, Dad, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And we move on.
Yeah. And, you know, what I'm so thankful for is that God is so patient with us. You know, I mean, with all of the failures that I have brought to the plate here for the last 24 years of parenting, God is incredibly patient with me. And I'm so thankful for that. And that just is, you know, as long as God is patient with me and God forgives me, it's just a huge encouragement to just, you know, continue to be patient with our kids. I think that's a huge part of it. We expect our kids to improve. You know, hey, didn't I tell you to obey mommy and daddy yesterday? I mean, come on, you know, get with the program. Well, you know, it doesn't happen like that. It's not like it's all smooth. It hasn't been with us, so it certainly is not going to be that way with our kids.
Right. And in fact, don't you see, sometimes I will be so harsh to one of my children when he's just mirroring the same type of behavior that I have shown. Sometimes I'll be mad at one of my kids and I'm thinking, I did the very same thing in 25 minutes of getting on my child. I think that's where he learned it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about traveling a little bit, because you travel around the country and love the site. You've got on your website a whole section on RVing, which is really cool. Your website is familymanweb.com for those of you who want to drop by. But, you know, traveling with a family, it almost takes the whole family relationship thing to a whole new level, doesn't it?
It does. I call it the crucible, because, you know, when you're in an RV for extended periods of time, and we are usually, we'll go out for a couple months at a time, and we're starting to do a different season because we have some older kids who are staying back. So, but, in the, you know, we used to for a long time, for a decade, we'd leave our house, and we'd be out for 3 months. We'd be out for sometimes up to 100 days in a row.
Oh, wow.
With 10 people, all, you know, trying to get along with each other.
Did you ever sin against each other?
It was hard to do that.
Did you ever sin against each other?
Oh, daily. you know, because it's hard. Again, mm-hmm. I think when you put people together, there is that friction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all fighting for our little self, and it's dying to self.
Mm-hmm.
It's kids and adults who are in various stages of maturity, and God's working in all of you. Like I said, the crucible, it brings up the ugly stuff. Now, I would like to think you bring up the ugly stuff, and then you deal with it, and it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's not always easy, but it is worth it.
Yeah.
There are things that being together for that period of time,
mm-hmm.
Just even if it's hard, it's still good together. It's still good to be together.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the high points? What do you like about traveling together, working together for, you know, months at a time on the road?
There's a lot of, I'll just tell you right up front. My wife and I never RV'd in our life. You know, we've mm-hmm. never camped, never been in a tent, except maybe in a backyard somewhere. And so when we did this, you know, my wife is Mrs. Not Flexible when we started.
Mm-hmm.
She was, you know, she would, for her, staying out in the outdoors was staying in the Hyatt instead of the Hilton. And so, you know, when we started this, we bought an old RV, we fixed it up, and we hit the road. And we just can't imagine our life without it now. It has allowed us so much flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you're considering an RV, the really cool thing about RVing is that, you know, we spend a lot of nights in Walmart parking lots. In fact, I just recorded I write down which ones I've stayed in, and I'm recording like the unique stays, never duplicated. 231, you know, unique Walmart stays.
Oh, man, wow.
And,
okay.
And, you know, they're everywhere, so it gives us great flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
My kids have seen everything mm-hmm. just because, you know, when you're driving down the road and you see a sign that says, you know, world's largest bottle of ketchup or, you know, such and such battlefield. You know, if you're driving a car, you think, I got to get to the hotel. I can't stop.
Yeah.
But in an RV, you think, we'll pull over and we'll see it. And we'll find a Walmart parking lot somewhere around in the area and stay mm-hmm. there that night.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the really cool thing, what my kids love is, again, I think it's just, it forces you to be together in a small space.
Yeah.
You know, my little kids, my little boys, you know, they have their own little room. All the little boys and the medium-sized boys and the big boys and the girls. But in the RV, they're all together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all whispering at night and, you know, giggling and telling each other to be quiet. I want to go to bed. And they love that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we've been home for a couple of days now.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest kids are like, Dad, can we go to Walmart tonight and just stay in our local Walmart? And I'm like, yes, we will. So I think tomorrow night we're going to drive to our local Walmart, which is 5 miles away. And we're going to spend the night in the local Walmart.
That's funny.
And they love that.
Let's talk a little bit about homeschooling. You guys homeschool, I guess. Or no. You RV school.
We've homeschooled from the beginning of our education experience. You know?
And you RV school, you conference school, you hotel school, you road school.
We call it life while we're doing
exactly.
school. Because, you know, a lot of people, it drives them nuts because they think homeschooling is something you add to your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you try to squeeze it in. I really don't believe that. When I say, you know, we homeschool 365 days out of the year, I truly believe that.
Yeah.
You know, and I can remember standing, and we do, you know, it's hard when you're in the RV. It's hard to do some of the school. It's hard to write when you're bouncing down the road, but my wife will read to them, and they can do some things on a laptop. But I remember one time we were standing in line to get on this tour of a lighthouse in St. Augustine. And we're standing in line, and the lady at the counter says, is there a school break today? And I said, no, we're homeschool. And this lady
we don't give
turns
them breaks.
Around, and she goes, I've been a school teacher for 35 years uh-huh. in public school. And I thought, and I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, she looks like a school teacher for 35 years. I thought, she's going to chew me up right now. And she said, you know, and I think what you're doing is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it is wonderful. My kids have not just read about some of those things. They've experienced them. You know, they've been on those battlefields, those presidential homes, those factory tours and places of history that as a kid, you know, I read about and they just kind of went out of my head. My kids, you know, have walked down the bloody lane in Antietam. And although, you know, some of them are really impacted by that, some of them could really care less, but they still enjoyed the bugs they saw in the grass and the relationships that we had along the way. So it's a pretty cool thing.
You know, Todd, our homeschool has been really unconventional too, a lot like yours. I just figured my kids have been on every continent except for Antarctica, you know.
Wow.
But we've been way, way out of the box. I think even more so than your average homeschool family. And I think of the same thing when I think of you. I think you guys have been out of the box. You're unconventional. Does your wife ever say, honey, I think we're going to blow this thing. My kids are going to make it to Harvard.
Only says that like every other week.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I think that is a lie.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, we have been, it's been foistered upon us.
Yeah.
We've used, you know, whether it's the system or maybe it's even other homeschoolers are saying, hey, this is how you learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not an educational reformer, but if I wasn't doing dad stuff, I think I could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking we've been doing it wrong for a very long time. And we as homeschoolers who have the freedom to do the way we believe God would have us do it best have bought into the lie. And we're feeling that same thing. But it is a lie. You know, the truth is, as you experience those things together as a family, your children are prepared for whatever God would have them do.
Yeah.
You know, and if they have to, you know, get out and they, you know, before they go to college and they have to take a little bit more math, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's not insurmountable.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I had someone recently actually kind of say, so are you an unschooler? I'm not an unschooler.
Yeah.
I'm not a anti-academic guy.
Right.
I just want to do what's most, I want to do what's most important, which I believe is the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in fact, my wife's motto is this. She said, you know, in her homeschool, she said, if we learn a little and we laugh a little, we will have accomplished a lot. I'm thinking, you know, that's pretty powerful.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good because that talks to a little bit of truth, but relationship as well. We need both.
Right.
Yeah. Here, let me ask you this. This is a really pointed question. And I'm gonna preface it by saying that this has happened. Have your kids ever embarrassed you on one of these trips, on one of these conferences? And here's my story. I was doing a little seminar out in Alamosa, Colorado. This would have been like 10 or 12 years ago. And so I'm doing a 6-hour seminar. It's just me. Okay. I couldn't get any help for the seminar. So it's just me. We traveled down there. I took two or three of my kids with me. And I'm like wrapping this thing up, doing the seminar on family discipleship and homeschooling. And so after 6 hours, I'm like worn out. It's like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been at it all day and I'm wrapping it up. So, you know, so this is, you know, how God has laid out some principles for how we can, you know, raise our kids to be godly and on and on. And I hear this scream at the top of her lungs coming from behind me. This is my daughter. She's like probably 5 or 6 years old. She's screaming at the top and she doesn't stop, Todd. She doesn't stop. She screams and I'm trying to wrap it up. I'm trying to talk louder. I can't, it's my daughter screaming at the top of her lungs. And so I just have to walk away. I walk out and I have to go help my daughter. So it turns out she'd wet her pants. So, you know, excuse me, but I got to go be a dad for like the next, you know, 20 minutes. Can you guys take care of everything for yourself?
That's
it's
awesome.
The funniest story I've ever had. Yeah, on the road. Have you had any weird story where your kids cut up or something?
You know, all the time. And like you said, that's maybe the humbling part of being a parent. You know, I know some speakers who don't take their kids for those reasons. I remember the only time I ever talked to Jim Dobson, Dr. Dobson, was one time we were just talking, and he said, you know, he had that same experience happen.
Uh-huh.
He was, you know, up in speaking in a big church, and he hears this commotion, and he looks up, and he sees his son and daughter fighting in the balcony. and he said, you know, and Todd, I told myself that I'm never taking them again. You know, I think that's kind of the temptation to say, well, I just won't take you guys anymore.
Right.
But I'll tell you, maybe that's what makes our message even more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That we're just dads, you know, and it's one thing when they wet themselves or they get hurt, but it's even more embarrassing when they look hateful, you know, and they're, you know, have bad attitudes and you're going, come here, son, you know, and they don't want to come here.
Yeah.
But, you know, exactly. I think the temptation, and this is not just for speaker dads, but for all dads. I can remember one time when I was as a pastor, when my oldest son was little, I don't know, he must have been 6, 7, and he was throwing a little fit. And I can remember getting down in his face and saying, you know, I need you to control yourself because you're embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw this look of terror in his eyes, like, you're on their side, aren't you, Dad?
Mm.
And I decided really at that point that, you know, when my kids do those embarrassing things, and they do,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I see my friends, I see their older kids post things on Facebook. I'm thinking, ugh, they just kill their parents, you know, with that little post.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, you know, I would always be on my child's side, you know? And so when my kid acts like a, you know, like a sinner, which he often does, or they do, I put my arm around him and say, that's my boy. And then I correct them later.
Mm-hmm.
And we still work on that.
Mm-hmm.
But they still know Dad's on my side. He loves me, even when I'm unlovable.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that because God loves us.
Yeah, amen.
Even when we're unlovable.
Amen, amen. Crises. People have crises. You know, I think we have hit the wall a time or two where, you know, I mean, it really seems like we're going 147 miles per hour and we just left the highway and we're going over the cliff, you know, and it has to do with relationships. It has to do with spending more time with each other. You know, God is readjusting our entire family in a couple of areas. That's happened to me, Todd. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that God has been just so gracious to me. And he's brought these crises, you know. And has that happened to you? And what do you advise people to do when it feels like they're hitting the wall?
You know, and we all do. I can remember, I don't know about you, Kevin, did you feel, I would guess that when you say you've hit the wall, it's probably been, you said, how old is your oldest?
24.
So I'm going to guess for the first 10 years of your life, you know, of your married life with 10-year-old kids and below, you know, that's not when you hit the wall.
That's right.
You hit the wall.
That's right. That's right.
You probably hit the wall in more recent years, correct?
That's right. Uh-huh.
You know, and that's the way I found. Because I'll tell you, you know, when my kids were little, I can remember talking, you know, and I never said this out loud, ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would say, oh, you know, my wife and I are just not getting along, or my kids are this. I would think in my head, well, if you would just do this God's way, you wouldn't have these problems.
Yeah, right.
And then time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids get a little older. Mm-hmm. Their issues get a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now where I have found the hard part is in the relationship with my spouse. Because my wife, she feels internally, where you said your wife said, you know, are we blowing it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so she begins to internalize and go, you know, I'm doing a terrible job as a mother. I'm doing a terrible job. We shouldn't have let our kids do this. Why did we not have them do this?
Mm-hmm.
And then it eventually turns around to, she looks at me and says, it's your fault, you know? And so now she sees me differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where I used to be witty and charming, now I'm the guy who's just lackadaisical.
Well, I think
or whatever.
My wife has a more realistic perspective of me today than she did 10 years ago. And I'm thankful for that.
Right.
I'm telling you,
right.
Todd, it's realistic. She describes me and she points out some of my issues better than she used to.
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
Bless
amen.
Her heart.
Amen. But I think the Lord uses these crises for my benefit. You know,
he's
bringing me face to face with him. And wow, that's the blessing. Now, it's not exactly a blessing in the middle of the crisis.
Right.
But when I realized at points during the crisis, I actually smiled and I would look up at him. Literally, I'd look up in the air at God and I'd smile and I'd say, I know what you're doing. I know what you're saying. You're talking to me and I can feel it.
Yeah.
thank you, Lord. You care enough about me to talk me through this.
And I think that's what he wants. If we believe that, if we believe those things are for us, then we don't pray that they'll all go away. We say, thank you.
Yes.
I remember, you know, my wife and I went through a really hard time where we just were not connecting. And everything I did was annoying. And, you know, it was hard. I hated all of it. You know, it was like 5 years ago for a couple of years. And even now it'll raise its head again. And I can remember one Thanksgiving dropping into bed, exhausted from a battle. And I could almost hear God's voice. Now, I didn't really, but it might as well have been. And it was, like I said, Thanksgiving Day or maybe the day after Thanksgiving. And I could hear him say, Todd, you didn't say it yet. And I knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted me to say, thank you for my hard marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I could almost feel his smile like he was going, do it. Come on, Todd, do it.
You can do it. You can do it.
You can do it. And I said it through an act of the will.
Mm-hmm.
God, thank you for my hard marriage because mm-hmm. of those things you said. Because I know you're doing something in me. You're finishing what you completed. Here's the danger, you know, is for dads, for husbands, for wives, for moms, you know, just as Paul told those Galatians, that, you know, don't grow weary in doing good. Because, I mean, he could have said, because doing good is wearisome. He said, you will reap a reward if you do not grow weary and stop. You know, I've seen so many homeschoolers, parents, moms, dads, husbands, wives, who think, this is not getting better. I've got to stop. And they do stop. And so they don't get to experience the reward afterwards, because God promised there would be a reward if I don't grow weary and stop. You know, and that motivates me.
So encouraging. So encouraging. Todd Wilson today on the Generations Broadcast. Good stuff, Todd. I appreciate your material. I appreciate the interview today. And I want to direct folks to your website, familymanweb.com. And you've got a new devotional out, 365 Days for Dads. And I'd recommend that to folks as well. But folks, that's familymanweb.com. Todd, it's been great. You need to come back on from time to time. Will you do that?
Hey, this is easy. I could sit here in my office. We'll do it anytime you want me, Kevin.
That sounds great. Thanks so much. Todd Wilson on the Generations Radio Broadcast. And you have been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. If you'd like to interact with the radio program, email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Does it seem like your family is getting pulled 100 directions? Is a crazy schedule and a hostile but enticing culture making it hard to stay connected to your kids? Join families from across the country for the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati on August 19th and 20th. Based on lessons from the life of Noah, the NOAA Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, the Benham Brothers and their father, Flip, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, you'll receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation. Go to noahconference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's noahconference.org.